Don't conform to evil desires. God's put you in a position where you're able to make the right decision. Be self-controlled. Do not conform to evil desires. And he puts it one more way in chapter 2 and verse 1. Get rid of whatever holds you back. See that in chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Rid yourself of.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Today we continue a message entitled New Life. And what we're actually going to be looking at today, Colin, reminds me of something that's happened to both you and I in the past. We've been on Christian radio taking call-ins and people asking questions. And they've asked questions along the lines of what we just heard. I want to be self-controlled. I don't want to conform to the evil desires. I want to get rid of the sin of my life, but I can't seem to do it by myself. How do I tap into more of the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, and the way that we always want to answer that, Steve, is to go back to this. There is a world of a difference between the person who has the Holy Spirit and the person who does not.
Right.
See, being a Christian, it's much more than turning over a new leaf. It's much more than being committed or having a belief or whatever that is. The new birth brings the presence of the Holy Spirit, and that puts a person in an entirely different position. Without the Holy Spirit, there's no way in the world that a person can prevail over sin. But where the Holy Spirit is present, God speaks to us with commands and exhortations of things that we can do in the power of his presence within us. Get rid of deceit and malice. That's addressed to a Christian because the Holy Spirit indwells that person. I'm put in a position where I'm able to engage in this fight. That's all the difference in the world.
And the other thing that I've often heard you talk about and was really helpful was to recognize that this is the indwelling of the Spirit within us. It's not like Star Wars. You need to tap into the Force out there. He's not this Force. The Holy Spirit lives within you. So because of that, you can't do these things.
And never leaves you and will never forsake you. I want to say to people often where there's confusion about this, if the Holy Spirit does not indwell you, come to Christ, put your trust in Christ and receive the new birth.
Yeah.
Receive the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit is within you, then stop pretending he's not. Start believing what is true because this is God's wonderful promise and the reality of your life.
That's a great way to begin today's message. If you can, let's dive into 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at verses 13 through the first few verses of chapter 2. Here's Pastor Colin as we continue New Life.
I love the story of the new Christian who was baptized by immersion in water. The pastor pushed him right under the water, brought him up, and he was so full of joy, and his face was radiant. And he said, "Pastor, now I will not be tempted anymore." And the pastor said, "I'm afraid that for that blessing, I would have had to hold you under for a bit longer." Now, don't be surprised or alarmed when you're tempted. Evil desires may dwell in you. We do live this Christian life in the body. God says, don't conform to them. Don't do what they're telling you to do. Every time you say yes to an evil desire, its power in you increases. Every time you say no to an evil desire, its power in you weakens. Now, if you have been giving in, let's take one example from our four, say to buying on impulse, things that you can't afford and that you don't need. And that's been a pattern that's become ingrained, and you've run up huge debts as a result. But that's just the way it's been for you. Then when you go into a store and you see something that you'd like, but you can't afford, the impulse to get your credit card out will be very, very strong indeed. But what you need to know is that God has put you in the position where you can say no. Don't conform to that desire. In the old life, you used to be pushed around by all these desires at work within you. But in the new life, God has put you in a position where you are able to exercise control over the desires. That's freedom. Who wants to spend their life being pushed around by a bunch of uncontrolled desires that are going on inside of you? God brings you to a position where that will no longer be the case, where you are in a position of mastering the desires that are at work within you. Now, the Bible's teaching about sin really is very, very simple. And it can really be summed up in three words. Here's the Bible's teaching on sin in three words. Don't do it. That is the Bible's teaching on sin. And don't muddy the waters of biblical clarity. You see, so quickly we come in with all this, oh, but I can't help it. Listen, if you can't help it, here's what you need to do. You need to come to Jesus Christ to be born again so that the power of his resurrection life will be at work within you, and then you will be able to do something about it. And if you have come to Jesus Christ and you are born again and the power of his risen life is at work in you, don't go through life saying, I can't help it. Don't conform to evil desires. God's put you in a position where you're able to make the right decision. Now, you may not always have done that in the past. We may have failed to do that many times, but please don't say it can't be done. Now, here's the fight. Here's what it looks like. And it is a raging battle. Be self-controlled. Do not conform to evil desires. And he puts it one more way in chapter 2 and verse 1. Get rid of whatever holds you back. See that in chapter 2, verse 1? Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Rid yourself of it. Now, for the last 2 years, our church staff has observed a very special day in June. It's become very popular. We call it the All Church Office Clear Out Day. And the idea is that we take a single day and we do one thing. We clear out all the files, we clear out all the cupboards and get rid at the end of another year of all the things that we don't need. I'll tell you, it is a day of great joy. People have it in their calendars and we look forward to it. People often comment about it. In fact, someone said out in the hallway, don't forget that another reason is we all have pizza that day, but that's by the by. Music plays in the hallways. People have large sacks and are tossing things out like there was no tomorrow. We sing songs like Meet Me at the Dumpster and things like that. And the reason that we do this is because we have a job to do. And we know that we have to get rid of the clutter that holds us back. Now, that's exactly the picture here. Get rid of the clutter, Peter is saying. Get rid of what holds you back. Get rid of what impedes you, the deceit, the deception, the hypocrisy, the malice, the slander. Take it out. Get rid of it. Now, the important thing to notice right the way through here is that God consistently speaks to Christian believers as those who have power. Be self-controlled. Do not conform to evil desires. Get rid of malice. Don't wait for God to do it, for some spiritual experience to happen. You have been born again. You have been given power. Now act. Prepare your minds for action to rid yourself of that which clings to you from the old life. Be self-controlled. Do not conform to evil desires. So there's the first dimension of what a holy life looks like. The fight, take action against sin in your life. The second dimension is all about the future. Verse 17, live as strangers in the world. And let's take it up at verse 13. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then verse 17, since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For, now he's going to give us a reason. Why are we to live our lives as strangers here? Here's the reason. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So he's talking to us about an empty way of life. How do you fill up an empty way of life? Now, Peter is telling us you can't do it with a new Lexus or with a Harley Davidson. He doesn't actually say these things, but he says you can't do it with silver and gold or with anything that silver and gold could buy. There is nothing that you can buy, nothing that you can own that would redeem you from the emptiness of life. You could fill up your life with movies and entertainment. You could fill up your life with a glittering career. But these things will give you no release from the emptiness of life. That is why, you see, you can have a dream job, the best marriage, great kids, and a growing sense of emptiness inside. Why is it that folks who achieve what they aimed for often find a great sense of emptiness when they've got it? And the reason is because there is nothing within this world that can bring you into the fullness of life that God wants you to know. It was not with perishable things or anything within this world that you're redeemed from an empty way of life handed down from your forefathers, but through the precious blood of Christ. It is through the blood of Christ that you're brought into a relationship with God, with whom you will spend eternity. That is what you were made for, and that is the one way of finding fullness of life. That's why, Peter says, you're to live your lives as strangers here. Because in this world, people think that what we have now is everything. And what we will have after death, whatever it is just a shadow and not worth considering. But the Christian knows that what we have now in all its beauty and splendor is only a shadow compared to what we will have then. In the presence of Christ. Nothing in this world is an end in itself. If God gives you the gift of marriage, it's a partnership to be used for His glory. If God gives you children, they're to be raised for His glory. Eating and drinking, the Bible says, are to be done to the glory of God. Work is for the glory of God. Don't live for these things. These things are the spheres in which God calls us to live for His glory. So Peter says, live your lives as strangers here, in reverent fear. That phrase, in reverent fear, of course, is in very significant because he's telling us it really matters that you live this way. Because as soon as your short journey through this world is over, you will stand in the immediate presence of God and you will see the Son of God who loved you and gave Himself for you. Now learn to live every day in the light of that awesome reality. And the wonderful thing is that when you learn to live in that way, it will deliver you increasingly from every other kind of fear. I watched the film Gods and Generals recently, all 4 exhausting hours of it. Marvelous film. It's the story of Robert Lee and of Stonewall Jackson, the American Civil War. Jackson, as you know, was given the name Stonewall because of his extraordinary courage on the field of battle. And there's a scene in the film in which one of Jackson's men asks him, "General, how is it that you can be so serene with a storm of shells and bullets raining over your head?" And actually, that's a great question, isn't it, for us who live in a dangerous world today. How, General Jackson, can you be so serene? Now, here's what Jackson said. "My faith teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself with that, but always to be ready whenever it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live. Then all men would be equally brave. You see, that's what Peter's getting at. Live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and we're going to get back to taking a look at what a holy life looks like in just a moment. Our message is called New Life, and it's part of a series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, a study of the book of 1 Peter. And if you miss any broadcast in the series, you can always come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org, and we have the programs there that you can both stream and download an MP3 for free. You can also go back and listen to what you missed on the Open the Bible app. That's free, and you're going to find it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through our website. Again, just come to openthebible.org. Let's get back to our message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
So this path of holiness, this life of holiness, is lived out in a fight in which God calls you to take action against sin in your life. It's worked out in relation to the future as we learn increasingly to live as strangers here. And living in the fear of God will give us victory over every other kind of fear. And lastly, and very briefly, it's worked out in relation to the family of God, as we learn, verse 22, to love one another deeply. Notice what Peter says. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth. Notice, by the way, that truth is something to be obeyed, not just believed. By obeying the truth. So that you have sincere love for your brothers. Love one another deeply from the heart. For, now he's going to give us the reason. Why are we to love one another deeply from the heart? Here's the reason. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You see what he's saying? You've been born again, you've therefore become part of God's family. As part of God's family, everyone else who belongs to Jesus Christ by faith is your brother and your sister in the family of God. And these relationships matter because they are going to last for eternity. You have been born again not of a perishable seed, not just of a religious interest that'll end at the end of your life, but of imperishable seed. You've been brought into this family of God, into relationships that will continue in the presence of God forever and forever. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let us learn now to love one another deeply. That's why, of course, he goes on in chapter 2 and verse 1 to say, therefore, get rid of all malice and deceit and slander and envy. Why? Because these are the things that spoil relationships in the family of God. You see, there is no such thing as holiness on a desert island, because the heart of holiness is love. It's demonstrated in the relationships that grow within the family of God. Love one another deeply. There's a lovely story thinking about the relationships between Christians going on for all eternity. It's a story of a young couple by the name of Sheldon and Davy Van Auken, an American couple who met with C.S. Lewis in Oxford, England, for lunch. They had had a conversation about death. And the conversation in future years actually was to prove very significant, because a short time later, Davy Van Auken, the young wife, died very tragically. And of course, sometime after that, C.S. Lewis's own wife, Joy, died through cancer. Well, they had had this conversation. And at the end, the Van Aukens were leaving England and they were returning here to the States. And at the end of lunch, Lewis expressed his hope that they would come to England and visit with him again. Sheldon Van Auken records Lewis's words in his own book about the death of his wife, called A Severe Mercy. And this is what he says. Lewis said to us, "We will meet again, either here or there, referring, of course, to heaven. We shook hands, and Lewis said again, "I shan't say goodbye, because we will meet again." Then, having crossed to the other side of the road, he raised his voice in a great roar that easily overcame the noise of cars and of buses. Lewis had a great voice, you understand, a booming voice. Heads turned, and at least one car swerved. "Besides," bellowed Lewis with a great grin, "Christians never say goodbye. Christians never say goodbye. Why? Because the relationships that we have in Jesus Christ are for all eternity, because you've been born not of some perishable seed, not some passing phase, but of the living and enduring Word of God. So love one another deeply. Let the church be like an outpost of eternity, where relationships that will be made perfect in his presence are already begun and reflect the love of the Lord Jesus Christ between brothers and sisters. Now, God calls us to lead a holy life. Here's what it looks like. It's about a fight, the battle against sin. Take action against sin in your life. Be self-controlled. Do not conform to evil desires. Get rid of all that holds you back. Relates to the future. Learn to live as a stranger here. Your home is with Christ in eternity. And all that you have and all that he gives you to do is to be used for his glory in the light of that great day that is coming. And love one another deeply. For no one lives this Christian life alone. We are part of a community that God brings together that's a foretaste of eternity. That's the path. Let's pursue it together.
An encouraging truth today. You know, God has called us to be holy, and as we've seen, he's given us the power to begin to live that out. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Life. It's part of our series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life as we take a look at the book of 1 Peter. If you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can always come and listen online. Our website address is openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener supported. We're able to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station because of your generosity. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd like to offer you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but where did the idea of the book come from?
Well, that came from my pastor, Derek Prime, who's now with the Lord. He was convinced that the best way to help a new believer get established in the faith was to take that person through the first letter to Peter. And he had very good reasons for believing this. Here's a letter in the New Testament that addresses all of the basics of the Christian life and brings them together in one place. And of course, there are many, many good resources that help people get established in the Christian faith. Often they take verses from different parts of the Bible, and it can be quite confusing. You know, if you're a new believer, look up this verse in Hebrews and then look up something else in the Gospels and something else from Isaiah in the Old Testament. What's really helpful and what I learned from my pastor is teach a person to learn from one part of the Bible. And as they learn to learn from one part of the Bible, they'll be able on their own to go on and learn from other parts of the Bible as well. And 1 Peter is just a marvelous place to start. And it begins so wonderfully with the theme of living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it really does address everything that a new Christian needs to get hold of in order to pursue a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, is our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-673-6365. Again, our website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 1-877-OPEN-365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. Have you ever wondered, What's the value of going to church? Find out next time on Open the Bible.